Today we're building a Nightbiz-style chop session in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing proper breakbeat surgery. This is an intermediate drum and bass sound design lesson. So we're not just throwing a break on the grid and calling it a day. The goal is to turn one loop into a controlled rhythmic instrument. Something with tension, ghost movement, and enough personality to carry a drop, a switch up, or even a dark DJ-friendly intro. Think moody, rolling, and slightly cinematic. Like the drums are cutting through fog while the bass line follows close behind. First, pick a break that already has some life in it. A dusty amen, a crisp funk loop, or a darker jungle-style break with a bit of room tone and uneven velocity all work really well. Drag that into a fresh audio track and set your tempo to around 174 BPM. That's a solid middle ground for modern DNB. Now warp it, but don't overpolish it. Use beats mode and preserve transients. If the break is busy, try transient loop mode at 1/8 or 1/16. The important thing here is to keep the human movement. If you force everything into perfect robotic timing, you lose that rolling, night boss energy that makes jungle and rollers feel alive. If the loop is especially loose, you can experiment with other warp modes, but for most drum breaks, beats mode is the best starting point. It keeps the punch intact and gives you cleaner transient behavior. Once the break is stable, right-click the clip and choose Slice to new MIDI track. Slice by transient and create one slice per transient. That gives you maximum control. Ableton will build a drum rack, and now the break becomes playable. This is the heart of the surgery session. Rename the important pad straight away so you know what you're working with. Kick, snare, hat, ghost kick, ghost snare, rim. Whatever matters in your break. And here's a pro move. Keep one version of the rack as the raw source, and duplicate it for the edited performance version. That way you can experiment without losing the original character. Now create a 2-bar MIDI clip and start programming the groove like you're drumming a live version of the break, not copying the original loop exactly. Anchor the pattern with strong snares on 2 and 4. Put kicks where they help the motion move forward. Then fill the gaps with hats, ghost hits, and tiny fragments. A good starting phrase could be a kick on beat 1, snare on 2, a ghost slice just before 2, a hat on the offbeat after 2, then another snare on 4. In the second bar, keep the anchor stable, then add a short run of 2 or 3 chopped hat slices before beat 4. Use short note lengths for clarity, even though note length doesn't always affect playback much for slices. It helps you edit faster and keeps the pattern readable. Now for the feel. Keep your main hits on the grid or even a touch early for urgency, but push some ghost notes slightly late. Just 5 to 15 milliseconds late is enough to create that push-pull tension. That tiny mismatch between precision and looseness is a huge part of DNB groove. One important coaching note here, think in phrases, not loops. A great chop session might be built from 2-bar logic, but the listener should feel 4-bar, 8-bar, and 16-bar movement. Even little edits need to serve a bigger phrase shape. Next, we reinforce the low end. A chopped break alone often doesn't hit hard enough for a modern dark DNB drop, especially once the bass line comes in. So create a second MIDI track with a support kick layer. Operator is perfect for this. Use a sine wave on oscillator A at a fast pitch envelope that drops about 24 to 36 semitones, set the decay around 80 to 140 milliseconds and keep sustain at zero. You can add a touch of saturation if it needs a little more edge. Don't trigger this support kick on every hit. Use it only on the main downbeats or the heaviest accents. The idea is to reinforce the break, not flatten it. Keep this layer mostly mono, and if the low end starts fighting itself, high pass the break a little and check the kick-sub relationship with utility. In dark DNB, the kick often has to punch through a dense bass line without stealing all the space from the sub. A focused low-end layer gives you impact without mud. Now group your chopped break and support kick into a drum bus, and shape the whole thing like one instrument. Start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to clean up rumble. If the break feels boxy, dip a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If the hats get sharp, gently cut around 3 to 6 kHz, then add drum bus. Keep the drive moderate, maybe 5 to 15%. Use crunch lightly. Boom can work, but be careful with it and tune it if needed. A little positive transient setting can add snap without making the groove brittle. After that, try saturator with soft clip-on. A few dB of drive is often enough to add grit and attitude. Then finish with glue compressor, ratio around 2 to 1. Attack somewhere between 10 and 30 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and aim for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. The key here is controlled density. You want attitude, not a flattened loop. If it sounds exciting only when it's loud, it might be overprocessed. Always a slash B at lower volume too. If the groove still reads quietly, the rhythm is probably strong enough. Now it's time to make the pattern breathe. Duplicate your 2-bar MIDI clip and create a second variation for the next section, maybe bars 3 to 4 or the second half of the drop. Add tiny hat stutters before snare hits. Drop in low velocity ghost snare slices. Try one reversed slice leading into a phrase change. Add a little 1-beat fill every 8 bars. Use the velocity lane to separate your accents properly. Main hits around 90 to 127. Support hits around 60 to 90, and ghost notes down around 20 to 55. That contrast is what makes the groove feel intentional instead of crowded. A really useful musical trick is to let the drums answer the bass line. If the bass holds a long note, let the drums do a quick 3-hit run in the second half of the bar. If the bass line is busy, simplify the chop so the groove stays readable. The best dark rollers often feel like drums and bass are having a conversation. Also, leave one lane a little imperfect. If everything is sliced, aligned, and polished, the groove can lose its life. Often the best choice is to keep hats or ghost kicks a little looser, so the pattern still feels played. Once the MIDI chop is working, resample it, create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, and record 4 to 8 bars of the drum performance. This gives you two big advantages. First, the drums often sound more cohesive once they become audio. Second, you can now edit the waveform directly, which is fantastic for tiny fill cuts, reverse hits, and dropouts. After recording, flatten or consolidate the strongest sections into a clean audio clip. Then start sculpting it. Cut a quarter beat hole for tension. Reverse a snare fragment before a phrase change. Duplicate a strong 2-bar section and change one hit to create variation. This is where the Nightbus vibe really comes together, because audio editing lets you shape momentum in a very deliberate, cinematic way. Now automate the arrangement so the chop session becomes more than just a loop. Use auto filter on the break bus and low pass it slightly in the last 2 beats before a drop, then open it hard on the downbeat. Send a little reverb only on fills or the final snare of an 8-bar section. Add delay to selected rim or hat hits at very low wet levels for depth. Use utility width automation to narrow the intro and widen the drop. A really effective arrangement move is to use the full chopped break in the first 8 bars of the drop. Then strip it back to kick, and snare anchors in bars 9 to 16 while the bass line gets more active. That keeps the energy from flattening out. A few extra coaching tips before we wrap up. Prioritize the snare identity. In dark DNB, the snare often defines the track's personality more than the kick. If the break has a weak snare, layer a tiny transient click or a subtle snare tail from another break, but keep it restrained. Use clip gain before heavy processing. If one slice is too loud, reduce it at the source instead of compressing the whole drum bus harder. That usually sounds cleaner. Save a dry reference version too. It's incredibly useful if you later overcook saturation or compression and need a clean anchor to compare against. For variation, try swapping only the last beat of bar 2. Keep the first bar stable, then change just one or two hits at the end. That tiny shift can make the loop feel like it's evolving instead of copy-pasted. You can also build a negative space version by removing 20 to 30% of the slices. That stripped pattern is great for intros, breakdowns, or bass-heavy sections. If you want even more character, create a parallel dirt layer. Duplicate the chop session. Distort the copy more aggressively with saturator, pedal, or redux, then low-pass it and blend it underneath. That gives you extra weight without losing the clean transient layer. And if you really want the whole thing to feel like it lives in a dark environment, add a subtle texture bed underneath. Vinyl crackle, tape hiss, rain, tunnel ambience, anything low-level that makes the drums feel embedded in a space instead of floating in dead air. So the big picture is this. Slice the break into a playable drum rack, keep the groove human with ghost notes and micro-timing, reinforce the low end with a separate kick layer, shape the drum bus lightly, resample early, and use arrangement automation to turn the chop into a real DNB performance. A strong Nightbus chop session should feel tight, moody, and forward-moving, like the drums are cutting through fog while the bass line follows close behind. If you can make one break feel like it travels across 16 bars, you're not just looping drums anymore, you're designing rhythm.